Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we're going to take a few moments this morning. Obviously, Brother Ezekiel, when he gets back, he'll continue his study with the adults class here, but for our study here in now that will determine what kind of life you will live in 10, 20, 30 years if the Lord. Decisions you're making now in your spiritual life will determine what kind of adult you will be, what kind of life you will lead. We've looked at some of those. The last one we looked at was choosing holiness. Popular for young people to live a holy and upright life. It's not popular, but it's going to lead to a much better life. The way of the world, the way of the wicked, the Bible says, leadeth to destruction. We looked at that. Today we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, where it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Today we're going to start a lesson here about the next decision we're going to talk about, which I think builds on the last one. One of the biggest reasons why people, young and old, choose not to live holy but to follow the crowd instead is because of fear. They're afraid of what people think. They're afraid, am I really going to be okay if I fully give my life to Christ? Am I going to survive? And today we're going to look at choosing faith, because that's what it takes to live holy, is faith. Faith over fear. Choosing faith over fear. We're going to pray and then we're going to get into this lesson. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask that you would sharpen our minds. Lord, we're coming out of a holiday week, and our hearts and minds sometimes can be pulled this way or that way. I pray that you'd focus our hearts, focus our minds this morning on your word. Lord, allow me to have the words that you want me to say exactly as you'd like me to say them, that we could get this point from your word across clearly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's a lot that people fear. There's a lot that young people fear. Oftentimes, young people will have fear surrounding what the future holds. And we look out there, and hey, you just watch the news media every night for about 5 days, and you'll think, man, the world's going to end tomorrow. It's over. There is no future. There's facing fears of the future, fear of failure. Some of us fear being alone. Some people fear disappointing your parents. Some people fear disappointing your friends. Some fear not fitting in. Some just fear the unknown of, I don't know what'll happen. Fear is more than an emotion. It's not just, oh, I had a bad day or I had emotional issues. It's a spiritual attack. If the devil can get us to live in fear, then we won't step out in faith. The devil will try to whisper in your ear, you can't because, or you shouldn't because. And God says you can in faith. There is the aspect here that we're going to look at today, that faith doesn't make fears go away. The idea is that you don't have faith without fear. You have faith that defeats those fears through the truths of God's word. There are a lot of things. Doing right can be scary sometimes. A lot of times. Hey, being a parent, raising children is scary. Not just because they keep you up all night sometimes, but just thinking about, am I doing it right? On my knees before God, begging him to show me how I ought to be the better parent, how I ought to raise my children. Man, I don't want my children to grow up and live miserable lives without the Lord. I want them to have a good, God-fearing life. There are a lot of things that are good things that make you very fearful. Hey, living a testimony for Christ, whether young people that be at school, you go to school, living right and godly before people who are not gods and do not love the Lord is scary. So yeah, preach to the young people, Pastor. Well, us grown folks will get around people at work or you know, out and about in public, and fear will make us kind of put a bushel over our light, as that song says down in the Sunday school classes. It says, I don't know that I want to let my light shine so bright for Jesus today. I'm going to kind of cover it up, and I'm not going to be so bold in my witness, so bold in how I live for Jesus, because you're fearful of what people think. I want to make a few points about this, and we're going to try to move through this quickly, but I want to first make the point and state the fact that fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. It says right here, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give it to us, it's not of God. So fear isn't a virtue. You say, oh, I'm just so humble. No, there's a difference between humility and faith. Sorry, humility and fear. God did not give us fear. He's not the author of it. Throughout Scripture, whenever fear arrives, God answers the same way over and over and over again. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, be strong and of courage, be not afraid. Psalm 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And we can go on and on and on and on and on throughout the Word of God as we can look at the fact that God is not a God of fear. He doesn't want us to live our lives cowering in fear. Now we're blessed to live in a country where we have freedoms. We're blessed that I could boldly carry my Bible into church this morning. I could boldly walk up to the front doors. We didn't have to hide to have church. None of us have been to jail for attending church. But there is fear that comes. There's fears about sometimes Christians will be out at a restaurant or be with friends, and you say, hey, I don't know that when we sit down to eat that I want to bow my head and pray. Why? Because I'm afraid of what other people think. I wonder if there were some fears around Thanksgiving tables a couple of days ago when I said, I don't know if I want to stand up for what's right because of what my family members would say. Well, Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so, what are they going to think about me if I tell them how much I love Jesus? If I tell them that I'm going to church on Sunday? If I tell them what I read in my Bible this morning? I tell you, God is not the author of fear. Fear is Satan's weapon to try to stop God's will in your life. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Young people, God has a plan for your life that's far greater than you can ever imagine. And you say, how do you know? Because I'm living that. I had my own ideas of how I wanted to live my life. I had my own ideas of what that would entail. I can tell you I'm more blessed today than I could have ever imagined. You say, are you a millionaire? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real blessings. But Satan can get you to live in fear. If you're living in fear, you're not going to be a witness. You're not going to tell others about Jesus if you're living in fear of others knowing you love Jesus. You're not going to serve the Lord as you ought if you're afraid to step out in faith and serve the Lord. You say, I don't know about coming and going door-to-door soul winning on Saturdays. Fear. Why don't you step out in faith? You won't stand for truth in your schoolhouse or in your workplace if you're living a life of fear. I tell you, here's a big one. You won't give God your future if you're living a life of fear. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to say, hey, don't give God your family. Don't give God your finances. Don't let God guide and direct your life. Young people, don't give God your future. Hold on to that. Do what you want with your life. Follow your own dreams. Follow your heart. And I'm saying that's bogus. The devil wants you to live in fear of doing God's will. You say, are you saying God's will is always easy? No. No, it's not. I'm standing here as a pastor of a church because it's God's will. I'm not standing here because it's easy. When I was 12 years old, we moved to Belize, Central America, to, at the time, a city that was the highest homicide per capita of any city in the world, to take the gospel to that city. Why? Because it was easy? Because it was the destination to move your family to? No, it was rotten. It was bug infested. It's miserably hot. I mean, right now, it's their winter time, and it got down into the 70s. A couple days, and they're freezing. I mean, just, it's dirty, run down. There's not a single McDonald's. There's no Walmart. There's nothing. Nothing. A gallon of milk's like $9. I mean, ice cream's like $40 for a half gallon of Breyers. It's ridiculous. Why did we go? Because God said to, and we had a family, I had parents who said, hey, I'm going to have faith over fear for our family's future. Even if that means moving somewhere where without God's direction, you'd be crazy to move. And you know what happened? In the subsequent 5.5 years that I lived there, I'm telling you, hundreds, we've counted over 600 people in that ministry who've gotten saved. That church is still moving forward. That church is still thriving. And now my parents, Pastor and Mrs. Whitaker, are headed to Chicago, to the heart of the thick of it, of the inner city of Chicago. You say, why? Because it's a beautiful place? It once was. It's not anymore. Why? Because, oh man, that's where somebody wants to go when they're in their early 50s. That's what they want to do, is start all over again and start a new church in Chicago. Why? No, because they had faith when God said, go. Or God said, do, instead of fear. I've got to tell you, the fear's still there. The fear's still there. Every time I get up into this pulpit, I'm scared to death. Every time. Every time. I that's one of the reasons why I like a big pulpit, because you can't see my knees shaking together. You think in Belize, we weren't scared? You say, oh, of course, you kids were scared, but Pastor Whitaker, no, my dad was scared to death. It's about 6 months into being there, we had nothing. We emptied the last bag of beans we had in our pantry, and that was all the food we had. And we started to soak them, get ready to boil them, and out it's just full of worms and bugs. It was just awful. And we got on our knees and prayed and cried. We were scared. There was fear. It's not an absence of fear. It's putting faith in God over those fears and saying, God, you told us to do this. We're going to keep moving forward. And we're going to run these buses out, and we're going to pick up kids for Sunday school. And we're going to, God, you called us to do this. And unbeknownst to us, no idea that we, there's a pastor who called. Say, hey, we're sending you guys $5,000. The Lord's laid that on our hearts. You say, what's that? That is seeing God do it when we have faith over fear. You say, oh, those are big stories. Young people, God doesn't want you to just coast along in a Christian life. God wants you to live a big, full, abundant Christian life. But it's not going to happen if we're living a Christian life of fear. A fear of, oh, even fear of, oh, what does the pastor think? Who cares what I think? Who cares what the pastor's opinion of you is? You ought to live by faith exactly what God leads. You say, why? Well, because if you find it in the Word of God, and it's contrary to what anybody else says, whether it's out there or in here, because we ought to live by faith in God. Fear is the thief of Christian spiritual growth. Fear also exaggerates our problems and minimizes God's power. I'll repeat that again. Fear, if we let it get a stranglehold on our lives, will make our problems look huge and make God's power seem so small. A thought that I've had, and I've repeated it several times, how can we as Christians say, hey, I'm putting my full faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for my eternity, yet I don't have enough faith to pay my power for him to pay my power bill? Man, but that's somewhat lopsided, don't you think? Numbers chapter number 13, verse 33 says, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They're looking at an impossible task entering the promised land. He said, we're little grasshoppers compared to our problems. And sometimes when we're looking at our problems in our life, they can become so big, and they become, maybe they are giants, but they're not bigger than God. And we ought to live in faith in the one who can fix those problems. We ought to live a life of faith in the one who wants to slay those giants like he slew the Goliath for David. I tell you, small things, when they have our full attention, can seem very big. I remember as a kid, amazed at we had a science deal that was, we were reading our science book and told us to go outside. I must have been 6, maybe 7 years old, and we were supposed to take a pencil, and we were trying to learn the idea of perspective. And so they gave us all these specifications of how big the moon is. It's a big rock. It's huge. Huge. And they told us to take our little number 2 pencil, the orange one with the little pink top eraser on there, and they told us to go walk outside, which is like 4 o'clock this time of year, and you look up and you see the moon, but then if you bring the pencil eraser close enough to your face, you close one eye, bring it close, that tiny little pencil eraser can look way bigger than the entire moon. You say, but it's not, Pastor. I know that. It's all about perspective. And fear will get our perspective to be focused right here on all our problems. Of, oh no, Pastor, I can't come to church because I'm focused on this. I can't be faithful to my Bible reading because I've got this. Hey, put those fears aside and look to Christ, and you'll realize you have all the reason to walk in faith because he's so much bigger. You say, that moon's big. Yeah, he created that. That was just an and the moon. It wasn't, he created the moon. No, it was and the moon, the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was comma moon. Just one of those things he included in there. He's God. He can fix our problems. He can get us through these fears. You say, I don't know if I can go to school about Jesus. Hey, thank you. Yes, I am. Great. Fear blocks your view of a very, very big God using a very, very relatively small problem. Faith, fear is not from God, but also faith sees through God's eyes. The 12 spies, if you remember the story, the kids sing about it, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Why were there 12 people that saw the same thing and they came back with 2 different stories? They had seen God work miracles throughout the promised land, their way to the promised land in the desert. They had seen manna come down from heaven. They had seen God provide water out of a rock. God had done all. He brought them across the Red Sea. They had all the reason to have faith. Yeah, 10 of them came back and said, oh, I don't know about this. Guys, trust me on this. We got big giants. They've got these cities with some big walls around them. I don't know. Maybe we should go back to Egypt. I don't know if God can do this. And 2 of them said, Caleb and Joshua, look around and see. What are you talking about? Yeah, those giants are big. Yeah, those cities' walls are huge. I mean, just Jericho's walls alone, you could have chariot races 10 wide around the tops of those walls. They're huge, but our God's bigger. The Red Sea was huge too. We were thirsty and dying in the wilderness, and he said, Moses, hit that rock, and boom, there's water for all of us. What's the difference? They went out there looking with a viewpoint of faith. And the others, a viewpoint of fear. Numbers chapter 13, verse 14, we know the story that fear won. Because of their lack of faith, they wandered around in that wilderness for 40 years. Because of their lack of faith, only Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who ended up going, of that generation, who ended up going into the promised land. The 10 spies, Numbers chapter 13, verse 31 says, we be not able. They were focused on the giants they talked about in verse 32, but they forgot God's promises from verse number 21. Joshua and Caleb says, they didn't say, we be not able. He said, fear them not, speaking of the giants. Why? He said this, the Lord is with us. Now, I'm going to preach about this a little bit, what I'm about to say a little bit in the next message, in the next service. But when you're backslidden, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're living a life of sin, you have a lot of reason to fear. Because you're not walking in His presence. If you're not walking in God's will, if you're not walking in His presence, the answer isn't, oh, I'm so scared. No, the answer is get right with God. And then with Him with you, there's no reason to fear. God had already promised the children of Israel the victory in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 17. He promised He would give them the victory. They didn't have to get the victory. He'd give it to them. I say, I know that, but we be not able. Christian, I don't know what it is that maybe you're facing. Say, I don't think I could take that step for the Lord. I be not able. I don't know that I can live that life for Christ. I don't know that I can be that soul winner. I don't know that I can be that bold witness. I don't know that I can take that step of faith. I don't know that I can be faithful in that way. Hey, fear not, for He is with us. 10 spies. Some saw giants. Some saw God. Like David, I've mentioned him this morning. David saw Goliath. But he saw him through faith. Israel's army had feared Goliath for 40 days, it says there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. For 40 days, Goliath came out and mocked him. And for 40 days, the whole army was hiding and shaking in fear. The Bible says that he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He'd walk among the children of Israel. He'd walk among the men of his army. David was a teenager, maybe 15, 17 years old. Commentators, historians, we really can't know for sure. We just know that he's young. Everyone else is saying he's too big to fight. I wonder if David might have thought, as a young person, yeah, he's big. It'd be hard to miss him with the sling. Faith is about perspective. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, he says, the Lord will deliver me. Then when he marches towards Goliath, he says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. David wasn't brave because he was a big, strong, strapping warrior. He wasn't brave because he didn't face Goliath and defeat Goliath because he was some champion of battle. You know, he was a teenager who kept the sheep, nasty, dirty old sheep for mom and dad while his brothers were off fighting. He defeated the giant because God is strong. Because he had faith in a powerful God. Hey, faith remembers the past, God's past faithfulness. Psalm chapter 77, verse number 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. That's one of the things I love about Thanksgiving time is we have a time dedicated to coming together and saying, hey, it's time to remember and be thankful for all that God has done. And if we were to sit down and we were to write out all of the wonderful things He's done for us, all of the wonderful things He is doing for us, remembering what He's done reminds us of what He is capable of doing in the future and builds our faith. Faith is seeing things through God's and knowing God's strength. Fear is not of God. Faith is a choice, it's not a feeling. The Bible never says feel faith. He says to have faith, to possess faith. Faith is a decision. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God. It's not just, maybe I'll get the feeling of faith. No. Decide, I. Remember, these are decisions that will define your life, young people. Drew, you got to decide. I am going to live a life of faith. I'm going to have faith in God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. You're not going to please God with your Christian life if you're walking in fear. You're only going to please God with your Christian life if you're walking in faith. Courage. Courage. In Daniel chapter 3, when those three Hebrew young people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stood and said, I'm not going to bow to this idol. It wasn't because they felt brave that day. It's because they had faith. I'm sure looking at this fiery furnace, there was some fear. They even acknowledged that they said, hey, I know that my God can deliver me from this fire, but if He doesn't, I still will do what's right. And they look at that fiery furnace. I mean, it was so hot that the soldiers who threw them into the fiery furnace died from the heat. God delivered them. God delivered them in the face of the most feared king of their day, Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 3, verse 18, they say, we will not serve thy gods. Why? Because they had chosen faith over fear. Faith chooses God's promises over human reasoning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, talks about leaning not into our own understanding. Hey, the world is going to have trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Follow Him. Even when you're afraid, follow Him through faith. And God rewards faith every time. God rewards faith by bringing peace. God rewards faith through boldness. God rewards faith through victory. All you got to do is read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, through faith, Abel got victory over false religion. By faith, Noah got victory over the world's mockery and a worldwide flood. By faith, Abraham had victory over uncertainty. By faith, Moses had victory over fear. By faith, Rahab had victory over her past. By faith, Gideon had victory with small numbers. By faith, David had victory over giants. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You want to have a victorious Christian life, young people? You're going to make this decision, a decision that will define your life. Grown folks, a decision that will define our lives. This is the victory, even our faith. Let's live a Christian life of faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. We are dismissed. We've got about 10 minutes, and we're going to come back at 11 o'clock for the morning service. You'll hear